Welcome past friends and welcome future friends to the Adventurer's Cave, located somewhere in the multiverse. I apologize, I didn't quality control the last episode and was not happy with the audio. Obviously it sounds pretty terrible, more terrible than usual, and I'm not taking it down because I think it's a mistake I need to remember. So in order to remember that mistake, I'm going to kind of leave it up there as a reminder to myself to double check the things I do. I was trying to get the teleportation spell in my book written, rewritten. I was going to a new location and I just I was too quick, and that that makes everybody suffer now in the past and in the future, and that stinks. So I'm here to rectify it, and I have a couple topics I'll talk about here. Number one, I love coffee. Number two, if I could, just for one moment, if I could just, I guess we'll talk about steps oblice first. Steps oblice, obliss. She's the NPC that hands out reliquary weapons, or exchanges reliquary weapons, in Vecna Unleashed, Upper Morgrave University. She's located, I don't know if you'd say just south of the tavern or just north of the tavern, because I don't really know the layout of the map that well. But I talk to her every day I can that I log in. Sometimes I can't because of work. But apparently, you do have to, at least my account, I have to talk to her 13 days in a row, meaning I've got to log in 13 days and speak to her 13 days in a row in order to unlock the quest that she gives you, so that you can find the book and then eventually find the... She gives you the glasses that allow you to collect the ingredients that upgrades the weapons from the raid Fires of Morgrave. I like this kind of content. I don't like the time-gated piece of it. I think I would be okay with like a 1 or 2 day login feature type deal, but I'm not okay with 13 or 14 days. It's a real struggle for me to do it. And I don't enjoy, feeling pressure from a hobby that I like. I love playing DDO. But I don't like to feel the pressure of, you gotta log in to make this happen. I give DDO a lot of my time. When I don't have it to give, I don't want to feel like I have to give it. So I'm not a huge fan of time-gated stuff like this. 2 or 3 days, a weekend, right? I can understand saying, hey, you gotta do it for a weekend, as like a regular dungeon master type deal with his players, right? But I do enjoy that the passage of time thing. I just don't fully enjoy a 14-day time-gated quest feature. It's not fun. I'm not sure if it resets if you don't talk. It just really, really stinks. I can tell you that as far as criticisms go and things I don't like in the Vecna Unleashed expansion, that's the only one. I don't like the drop rate of the level 18 stuff, but I love the gear. I love the story. I love the inclusion of all the NPCs and the different maps. I love that. I love the quests. I do. I love the way they're put together. They're fun, man. It bums me out to have any criticism for Vecna Unleashed. It was You know, when I came back to the game, I was sitting around one day and had nothing to do in the game. And someone sent me a tell what I like to do, Pirates Over Moorgrave, and I said, I haven't even flagged for Vecna, the Vecna quest. And I didn't do any of the quests. I hadn't even been over there. I had just sort of figured out Isle of Dread, and I was comfortable with Sharn 1 and 2, not quite the cogs yet, but I was aware of them, and aware of the sagas and all this stuff. And you know, as a returning player, someone who used to be good at the game, finding out that I'd returned many years previously or in the past and didn't know some of the stuff I knew now was daunting. You know, that's why I really push for that, like, DDO campaign book to be published. I just think it would really benefit the community. It would definitely even still benefit me. And love to see something like that come out for the community, for the game. And I believe in a product like that that would help push the game forward. My wife wants me to go to some local meetups for Dungeons & Dragons tabletop because I really enjoy the story aspect. I really enjoy a lot of things about Dungeons & Dragons, and I have a well-developed imagination. I like to call it left-side brain function, but my wife says I have a vivid imagination, so she's been pushing me to do something like that, and it's been so long, and I would love to go to something like that if I could bring a book like that, like a, you know, what I usually play, guys, is this. Take a look at this. Have you seen this? I'd love to share that with them, even to buy a couple extra copies and leave them at the hobby shop after a meetup like that. I just think it would be really cool. And to that end, I think the podcast is I want it to be designed for people that are new or returning to get their juices flowing, or to get their to firm their connection with the campaign that we play together. I said it in the last podcast. I think I do have a couple of approaches that I use when I make characters, and I either A, feel disconnected, or B, I am disheartened by, you know, new information I learn. Sometimes as a player, you think you understand something, and then as you progress further in the game, you realize, wow, this ability doesn't work, or these stats are okay, but all these feats are bad, and you know, you gotta start over. Now, some players wouldn't even maybe identify what's wrong with the build or their character that makes them ineffective or less effective than they really want to be. They just don't either care to, or they don't understand the system well enough. Again, I think a book like that would help them understand that. I also, you know, I talked about, I was trying to last episode, that you really can't hear very well, so I don't, if you haven't listened to it, that's fine. But the last episode, I talked about this one character concept that I had that I really wanted to make in D&D, and just because of all the lore I've been reading and books I've been reading, I really took the shine to the Shadowfell, the new Shadowfell. I know that it's a 4th edition thing, I guess, and I did a lot of research on it. And I guess there was a time, briefly, when humans were Shadar Kai, but both in its first inception and then in its current lore in Dungeons & Dragons, they are elves. So they once they were, I think, initially they were descended from the Fae, and then So they weren't quite elves, but then something had happened, because it was such an addition to Dungeons & Dragons lore, kind of like a tack-on thing, so wasn't given much credit. Now, it's fairly popular, and, you know, Drizzt Do'Urden was captured there, right? Held captive there, excuse me. So, pretty popular now. And in my research, I ran across the Raven Queen. You know, in DDO, there's a couple of different abilities with ravens. And, of course, it reminds me of Edgar Allan Poe and the poem, The Raven. So I really wanted to make a Raven Knight, right? Like someone ripped from the Shadowfell and forced to do the Raven Queen's bidding. I really wanted them, I guess, as I fleshed out the idea, because I have to play the Shade Archai in the game, I don't have the option to change the model of the character, so I can't make a Shade Archai and give him the model of an elf or a half-elf or anything like that. You have to use the human body style. So in my brain, I was just coming up with a backstory for it, and the backstory I kind of stole from the forums. There was a post about, in the old forums, there was a post about a character who kind of became what seemed like a warlock for the Raven Queen. So I kind of used that as a basis, that maybe they were a human in Eberron, and they were ripped from that existence into the Shadowfell for one reason or another, maybe due to the Last War. Maybe the Last War, it was a battle that was, you know, a very big conflict, and maybe it was near the, just before the morning, and just before the morning came to be in Eberron, and this soldier was ripped from that battle and suddenly found himself in the Shadowfell, where he wandered aimlessly and barely survived until, once saved by the Raven Queen and given the opportunity to return, but he returns several years after the morning, after the Last War, and the world is sufficiently changed. And I needed him to chase a MacGuffin, an artifact for the Raven Queen or something, but that was the basis, right? He was a soldier. For whatever reason, the veil between the planes sucks him into the Shadowfell during this last battle, right before the morning happens, and he finds himself back in the Prime Material Plane in Eberron, many years after the Last War. I like a lot of the... I wanted to use that backstory, and I wanted him to be use the falconry trees. Oh, I'm almost convinced I have to use the... just the falconry tree has the ability to summon a raven, that it's a pet that doesn't really do anything. It just kind of flies over your shoulder, hangs out. It can be linked to attacks and such in the tree, but it never it can't be hurt or anything. It's invincible, and it's a great thing in the game. But I just and I wanted to use that as a basis for the character, so that he would be, okay, so falconry tree based. That leads me down the wisdom path or the dexterity path. In order to make his abilities work. And I've been really struggling with this this concept, because I've tried and I've spent a lot of money to try to build this guy. I've used several different classes as his base, pure classes, multi-classes, and I bought a lot of plus five lesser hearts of wood. I've been to the Fred and exchange feats, and I have tried and tried. Now, I've come up with some neat builds that I like. But I don't feel like I found any that are super effective. Although now that it comes to it, I may have stumbled across one that does work. People are starting to figure it out now with the Dragon Lord build. I've noticed a lot of 14 or 15 main pure class, like 14 or 15 pure class, like say Ranger, and then they're splitting those last couple of levels, five levels or so, between other classes, and I've already nailed down that that's an adequate split for the Ranger. You know, 14 or 15 levels, you really don't lose anything, and you can gain a lot. I have some other ideas for some builds for that. With backstory. I'm going to finish telling you the story, but I'm not sure I believe it totally. I did come up with one split that I really enjoyed. It was 16 Ranger and 4 Monk. And that worked really well. I was able to sustain an almost 80% dodge, 85% dodge, with three separate cooldowns, defensive cooldowns. And I hate talking so meta or so factually matter of fact about the build, but I wanted to, when I came up with the backstory and came up with the character, part of the way I imagined him is that because of his time in the Shadowfell, a lot of times it's almost like he's not fully in the prime material plane, so he's difficult to pin down in combat. So he has a high dodge. He does. I usually utilize the displacement feature, and I usually combine that with the Shadow Dance or Epic Destiny. It gives him an incredible amount of, like, fake hit points. You know, they have the... If you go into your character sheet, hit the plus tab, there's a bunch of new... That's really your new stat page, which I didn't... the game is not good at explaining that. Now, I do turn off all the hints, but that was such a new thing to me that I spent a good amount of time, good month or two, messing around and finding out what adds and subtracts to that. For instance, when you go to that page, there's a general combat drop-down menu, and you can see how many sneak attack dice your character has. And the sets that you wear, whether the item sets from Saltmarsh or Isle of Dread, these sets will, once they're completed on your character, will show up here. And for instance, I was using the Dreadstalker set, and I noticed that it never raised my sneak attack dice. I never got the three sneak attack dice from the legendary Dreadstalker set. So when I became familiar with Vecna Unleashed, I immediately tried to find something that was comparable that I could switch to, because I wasn't getting the 3d6. From the Dreadstalker, which, and maybe it just wasn't showing up in the character page, but because it wasn't showing up and not telling me that it was being added to the character, I figured I would just replace it. Anyways, I was pretty happy with that build. I may end up going back to something like that. I could try that. But I might try that. I might try, maybe it was 16. I've definitely tried 15 monk. I've tried full monk and was not happy with that at all. I heard that if I just had gone hand wrap monk, that it would, did the Shintao tree. I did everything that you were supposed to do. I took all the feats you were supposed to take, and I wasn't happy with that. I didn't find the damage. I found both Quivering Palm worked great. I found that it was very reliable. In this build, this wisdom-based hand-wrap monk that I used, Quivering Palm was very good. I found that the Raven death attack worked really good. But I just found the DPS was so poor. And with good melee power, you know, we're talking 250, 260 melee power. Not, you know, end game, you know, like, not 350 melee power. But, you know, 250 or 260s I felt was fairly reasonable. And even on R1, I just, you know, I was playing with some friends. And it just felt like I was beating on the bosses forever. And just couldn't seem to take them down without, you know, needing a coffee break or a bio break because it took so long. So, yeah, that was not a good experience. And I spent a lot of money and time trying to figure it out. And I guess a criticism I may have after something like that is I'm not sure, without having the campaign book that I've been talking about, I find that the cost, the financial cost to test these builds out, and I really tested them out. I mean, I took screenshots of all the new character page in the plus tab of your character sheet. I took pictures of all that stuff on the drop down, and I really tested the builds very extensively, and to get used to the system and used of the rule, used to the rules and how they the game operates. And I think that's extremely prohibitive. It's cost prohibitive, and it's I don't expect any other player to do something like that, and I certainly don't hold to account players that don't have the information I have, because it costs me a lot of study and a lot of money, and I don't think that's fair. I think what's fair is purchasing a book and reading it and spending your time reading it and then understanding it and then testing it out from there would be fine. But I also think there should be a much more effective way of more cost-efficient way to build a character when mistakes were made. I think that should be looked into, and I'm just spitballing this because it's not something I've given a whole lot of thought to, because the systems, the Lesser Hearts of Wood, they all exist. Fred exists to swap feats. But
Timber Shards, and why not? Well, my inventory is really full, so I